Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Genesis chapter 2. Listen for God's word. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As many of you know, our family has done a lot of traveling this summer. From Texas to Indiana to Canada to Western New York State, we got home last Sunday from the last of our adventures, which began with us spending a day at Letchworth State Park, where you can find the Grand Canyon of the East. Who knew? And then a day and a half at Niagara Falls. Even the commercialism can't hide what a truly awesome place that is. This was prelude to a week at the Chautauqua Institution, a historic community along the shores of Lake Chautauqua that is dedicated to learning, art, music, and religion. We had an amazing week, soaking up the music of the Chautauqua Symphony Orchestra, as well as Wynton Marsalis and the jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra, listening to inspiring lectures and sermons, walking around the gorgeous grounds and admiring the beautiful Victorian homes and lush gardens. We'll tell you more later, but it was truly a feast for the body, mind, and spirit. On our way back across the southern tier of New York State, we stopped at Watkins Glen State Park and the Corning Glass Museum. Now, compared to the grandeur of Niagara, Watkins Glen is much smaller, but it's no less beautiful or stunning to see the narrow gorge carved over centuries by Glen Creek, sculpting 200-foot cliffs, incredible rock formations, and 19 waterfalls as it descends 400 feet on its way into Seneca Lake. Natural beauty like that always makes me appreciative of God's creativity and the wonders that God's hands have wrought in the world all around us. Then we were blown away again at the Corning Museum of Glass, where we saw the most amazing pieces of art, in which the artist had somehow melded liquid glass through form and color, light and imagination into masterpieces of pure beauty. In the Hotspot Amphitheater, we watched veteran glass blowers dip long metal poles into a furnace of molten glass and then in constant motion, with the gentlest puff of air, create lovely goblets and pitchers and bowls. It was mesmerizing. I could have sat there for hours watching them work, rhythmically spinning their pieces as the glass glowed and cooled and took shape under their hands. I am in awe of what those glass blowers can do with their hands and their breath and their imagination. Our scripture lessons today show us what God can do with some holy imagination, the Spirit's breath, and Jesus' hands. In Genesis 2, God is faced with a pretty empty canvas. There was earth and sky, land and water, but no life. Why? No plants, no animals? The passage seems to suggest that there was no life yet on earth because it hadn't rained yet, and there wasn't anyone to cultivate the ground and take care of it. So what did God do? God got creative. She took some of the dusty ground in her hands, maybe mixed it with some water from the stream nearby, and God started to mold and shape the clay. God got his hands dirty and used his imagination to create a human being. Then God breathed the spirit of life into the figure, and it came alive, breathing holy air, flexing brand new muscles, stretching arms and legs, balancing on unsteady feet, looking, listening, smelling, touching the world around him. God must have been inspired by this first burst of creativity because she started creating even more forms of life, plants and trees of every kind, and she filled the garden with them. Then God put the human in the garden with all of this life to till it and to keep it, to cultivate it and take care of it. When given the opportunity, what does God create? God creates life, and not just life for its own sake, but life for a purpose. God creates life that is pleasing to the eye and nourishing to other life around it. God creates human life for a purpose, too, to take care of God's creation, to be nourished by it, and to protect it. Jesus gets his hands dirty in our gospel lesson too. He and his disciples were walking along the road and they come upon a blind man. Confronted with human brokenness and need, the disciples want to have a theological discussion. Whose fault is it, Jesus, they ask, that this man was born blind? Did he sin or did his parents? But Jesus isn't interested in the past, only the present right there in front of him. Neither one, he answers. The important thing for us now is that his blindness provides us an opportunity to do God's work and for God's power to be revealed in the world. Similar to God back in Genesis, Jesus starts making mud pies. He spits on the ground at his feet. He mashes it into a mud paste and spreads it on the blind man's eyes. Then he tells the blind man to go and wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam. And the man returns, no longer blind, able to see. Like God, Jesus uses his hands and his imagination, even his saliva, to create life. He creates new life by touching and healing and giving hope where none existed before. If you read through the Gospels, you will find Jesus doing all kinds of work with his hands, fishing and feeding, helping and healing, calming storms and liberating people from injustice and oppression, creating new life in the midst of death and despair, doing God's work, shining God's love and light into the dark places of the human heart and our world. Each and every one of us has hands and feet, breath and spit, imagination and ideas. Each and every one of us has been given the gift of life and countless other gifts and abilities. On this Labor Day weekend, as we enjoy an extended Sabbath from our work, we are invited to think about what we are creating with our hands and our breath, our words and our actions, our work and our lives. We human beings were created in God's image, which means that we are creative by nature. We have the power to create life or death, love or hate, beauty or ugliness, justice or injustice. We can create and work for ourselves alone, for our own purposes, or we can create and work for God and God's purposes in the world. As you worship here this morning, and as you head back home, back to school, back to work this week, what are you creating with your life? How does your work participate in God's work in the world? Think about it. With every word you speak, every keystroke you type on the computer, every email you send or picture you post on Instagram, what kind of world are you creating? With every breath you take, every note you sing or play, every conversation you have, every touch you share, every meal you prepare, every dollar you spend, every choice you make, what kind of life are you creating? Not only for yourself, but for others also. Just as God did not create the first human being to live for himself alone, God created us all to live for a purpose greater than ourselves. We were created to create life and new life. We are called to create where others see only emptiness and barrenness. We are called to do work that glorifies our Creator and inspires others to join us in God's holy work of worship and service, taking care of our world so that others may live also. So wherever we work, at home or at the office, in school or in the garden, on the road or on the train, at the hospital or at church, every place and every moment is an opportunity to use our mind and our imagination, our breath and our body, our gifts and our skills, our words and our actions, to create life and love, justice and peace, healing and hope, to shine God's light, and to do God's work in the world around us. Amen.